the Good News Station.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Malaysia's prime minister says that experts in France have determined that a barnacle-encrusted airplane wing fragment came from Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, which disappeared more than a year ago. The debris washed ashore last week on an Indian Ocean island. Officials in Mississippi say a person of interest is in custody in connection with the shooting incidents near Camp Shelby yesterday and today. Shots were fired in the air during soldier training, but no one was injured.
They reported those gunshots to their chain of command. Their chain of command then after that reported it to local authorities.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Christian Patterson from the Mississippi National Guard. President Obama is defending the Iran nuclear deal. He gave a speech this morning at American University.
By killing this deal, Congress would not merely pave Iran's pathway to a bomb, it would accelerate it.
But some members of Congress disagree, saying it gives Iran permission to move ahead with its nuclear program. This is USA Headline News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. The issue of the undercover videotapes of Planned Parenthood officials discussing the sale of body parts from aborted babies was one of the main topics of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Nashville. Republican presidential candidate Marco Rubio says ultrasound images should be enough proof that abortion kills a child in the womb.
It's a living human being. It's not a mass of tissue, but a real person with a soul and the right to live and the right to prosper and to fulfill their God-given rights.
The Reverend Russell Moore questioned candidate Jeb Bush about those undercover videotapes of Planned Parenthood officials.
Shouldn't we make that an issue and say not one more red cent to Planned Parenthood?
We should. And the next president should defund Planned Parenthood.
The former governor of Florida said he misspoke when he said he wasn't sure we need $500 million for women's health issues. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded women's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Issues opened fire in a Louisiana movie theater, putting a new spotlight on holes in the background check system. Rita Foley, Washington.
The government is going to make companies reveal the pay gap between CEOs and their employees. The Security and Exchange Commission voted today to order most public companies to disclose the ratio. The new rule will take effect starting in 2017. Operators of a circus where a father and daughter died in a tent collapse during a storm in New Hampshire say the entire cast and crew is reeling from shock. The statement from Walker International Events of Sarasota, Florida was posted this morning on its Facebook page. It's the first word from the circus operator since the tent collapsed Monday evening at the Lancaster, New Hampshire fairgrounds. Pope Francis may be opening the door for divorced Catholics. He said today that divorced Catholics who remarry and their children deserve better treatment from the church and urged pastors to avoid treating these couples as if they were excommunicated. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station. WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Now, we were just talking about Italians where the kids never leave, and they're happy. The families are happy about it, you know.
Today the millennials, the majority of those are not leaving either.
They're moving back.
They're not even leaving, or they're moving back in.
Can't afford to.
It's an interesting thing, but you know, like in the old country, that was an absolute. You know, they just kept building the house up, and then years ago I was up in Boston, the North End, and it's mostly Italian.
Yeah,
and,
North End.
Yeah,
I was then, up there. In the
you know
summer.
What I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, it's great.
So you got a three-story house, everybody, and when the first one gets married, they move into the whatever floor is not occupied yet.
Mm-hmm. That is an absolute
right.
truism because it happened with my family.
Yeah.
My grandfather bought this house. It was a three floors.
Yeah.
He moved in the top floor, and the two kids moved into the other floors.
Right.
That's where we lived, up in the Bronx.
That was the system.
That was the thing. That
and then if you didn't do that, boy, oh boy, that family really gets upset.
Well, they call that the extended family, Joe.
Black
you see, you know, that concept has moved away, but maybe it's coming back now because people can't afford it.
Well, if you're from India, as in India, the rule is you move in with your parents when you
is
get
right?
married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is
mm-hmm.
the system.
Yeah.
I was watching a 60 Minutes thing where these two movie stars that have all kinds of money are living with her parents because we have to. I mean, this is what you do.
You do that, and doesn't it come with a dowry also?
Well, I like that part.
Dowry.
You know.
Similar to a lot of Asian cultures, I think, Chinese. And,
I like the idea of a dowry, you know.
Dowry, yeah.
You know, it never happened here. But
Joe's the reverse dowry.
The reverse dowry, right? Well, you know, it's interesting. When I moved to Florida back in 1976 from Michigan, I said to my dad at the time, I says, Dad, you know, he was a milkman in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Dad, you could have been a milkman in Florida just as well, you know. He says, yeah, Joe, you couldn't do that when I was a kid, when I was young. I said, what are you talking about? He said, we had to go to grandma's house every Sunday for dinner. And if we she'd put a curse on you or something,
yes.
you know.
I don't know about her.
But
you were excommunicated, for sure.
Something would happen, and she wouldn't be happy. She'd hit you with a jar when you walked in the door.
Oh, it was a requirement.
Well, remember those days?
Yeah, were you kidding? I spent every Sunday at my mother-in-law's.
That's my point.
Me too.
But
grandparents.
Thank God she was an excellent cook.
Yeah, right.
Used to love going over there.
Thank you, Lord. But you should have taught your daughter how to cook. You didn't just
No, her daughter does very well, thank you.
That's because you're afraid of her.
Well, could be, but
could be.
No. My wife is a great cook.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech, financial advisor, securities principal, stockbroker, lots of different titles, lots of licenses, etc. With me today is Vince Rosino, CPA, also forensic CPA, also ex-college professor.
But not at Columbia.
Not at Columbia. You ever hear of that school, Columbia, Greg?
I have.
Yeah.
And
we also have with us Greg Fasula, attorney, who also didn't go to Columbia.
Didn't go to Columbia.
No. Nope.
And never taught college.
South
either.
America, maybe.
South Carolina.
That's close.
Yeah, South
you know
Carolina,
what gets me? You graduated from Alabama.
That's right.
Where's your accent?
Well,
still in Alabama?
He left. You know, once I did come back from the school, I did have a little bit of accent.
I'm sure you did.
But kind of, you know.
Went back, took a lot.
Yeah, you lose it. After time, you lose it.
I know years and years and years and years ago when I was much younger, my territory was Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Canada.
Mm.
Little territory.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to go to Montreal. Now, I'll tell you, I love Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick up a French accent overnight.
Is that right?
Oh, it's so easy to do because the words are so pretty. You know, even in English, like if you go to New Orleans, they have a street called Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
But in French, it's Decatur. Now, what would you rather go, Decatur or Decatur?
Sounds plus, more Americans make it more, yes, we make it more plain.
We don't sound good, you know.
But we sound like dogs barking.
I didn't know you used to go up there a lot, Montreal.
Oh, when I was 26, 27 years old. Oh,
did you go to the expo in 1967 up there?
No.
I did. It was it was Montreal Expo 67.
I didn't get the job till 69.
Yeah. I was a little kid, but I was up there.
Yeah, it was like a big fair?
It was like a World's Fair.
World's Fair. Yeah, it's a magnificent city. Toronto and Montreal are just beautiful cities. Mm-hmm.
And they all had
been to
fun.
Toronto.
I've been to Toronto.
Yeah. I like both of them. Montreal. In fact, that was the first time I was ever on a subway. It was in Montreal, and it was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You know,
Toronto. They
know
also.
How to run. They know how to run their systems.
They really do. They really do. Mm-hmm. I think if I take the three prettiest cities in North America, not necessarily this order, but San Francisco is one of them, and Montreal and Toronto are the other two. Mm-hmm. Now, I could throw in Vancouver as another one, but it's not nearly as big.
I have two of my favorites.
Huh? Which ones?
Which is Charleston.
You like Charleston?
Yes, I do, I like St. Augustine.
Well, see, I like Savannah better than those two.
Savannah's pretty, too. That goes right up there.
I'm talking big town.
That's what makes these nicer is because they're small, they're quaint, and they're very European.
I agree with all that. Yeah. You know, but
hey. We were talking about Boston. Boston has a great subway also.
Yes, it does. Boston's a good town.
Very nice subway.
Very, very good town.
And they just expanded it.
You know, here's what you do. You pray every day that you don't have to live up there.
Oh. at least not in the winter
I mean, thank you, Lord, we're in Florida. I just can't, you know, this is such a gift for me because the water person that I am, you know, this is an absolute gift. Sure. Anyway, 10 or 12 years ago, we started doing these shows, and the whole concept was very simple. Joe Martek, as a financial advisor, has got a bunch of clients here and in 13 other states because that happens. But I don't know everything by any stretch. And when clients would ask me legal questions, well, I'm not an attorney, couldn't do that. They'd ask me tax questions. I certainly couldn't help them with that. So if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other professionals, and the word now is credible. So you want to find somebody that, one, you can get along with, two, that you respect or admire, and three, my other thing was not new in business. The key thing that when you have people that are brand new in business, when they're going to make mistakes, they usually make more when they're new in business than they do when they've been in business 20 or 30 years.
Sure.
So even though Greg, you don't even look young anymore now that I think about it.
Thanks a lot.
Is he telling me he's aging?
Yes. You know, do you dye your hair?
That
you
happens.
Are getting gray here, I see.
You see that?
Oh, yeah, Greggy, this is good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it happens.
One of the first things I do when I meet a new prospect or suspect is ask them if they're ready to die. Now, sometimes we have two answers to that. One, are you ready to meet God? And sometimes we've had to do some work on that one. And the other one is, that's not the reason I really asked them that, is have you done a will or a trust? And if they haven't, I feel it's my responsibility to stir the pot and to get them to do such a thing. Because all of us sitting here, CPA, attorney, financial advisor, have seen families really get in trouble that don't have one. We've seen them get in trouble that do have one. Mm-hmm. But the point is, if the people doing the will are competent, and put down on in writing what they want to have happen, then there's not going to be too much of an argument when people do die. In fact, I've got a client from Okeechobee that we're coming to visit you in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm coming with him. He's a retired Fort Pierce police sergeant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he decided to get away from the big city and go to Okeechobee. But he's in Buckhead Ridge.
I've heard of that.
Buckhead Ridge.
Yes, it's on the shore of Lake Okeechobee. Ah, way over there.
Way over there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's not close. But anyway, he's a neat guy and
close to Lacy's.
Yeah. He had a
Lacy's,
the restaurant.
Yeah, it is. I think I've been there.
Right now, just past it. Mm-hmm. Buckhead Ridge. Yeah, I've eaten lunch there because it's the only restaurant there.
It's seafood.
Good seafood. It's a nice restaurant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real nice. Anyway, so we will be coming to see Greg. It was interesting, this is not a good story, but he just lost his daughter. You know, things like that kind of hit you in the head real hard, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about your immortality.
Right. I see that a lot.
Yeah.
Something like that spurs you to think about it.
Tremendous motivator. And it was very heartrending. You know, the guy's going to Well, you know, the truth is, you lose a child, you never get over it. That's just what happens. It's just the way it is. So, but hey, you come to grips with it over a period of time, and so we're into the counseling stage. And when we get together with you, it's there are going to be some tears. Let me tell you, I can tell you right now, it's just the way it's going to work. But that's called life.
Then that's life. Yeah.
On top of that, we have Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big deal, independent insurance agent. In fact, today on our morning program, which is WPSL 1590 AM at 11 AM, but I would never talk about such a thing on this show.
No, you wouldn't.
Dan had a couple of new wrinkles in the insurance business.
He did?
Yeah. You know how, like, you know, things do change in life.
Did you iron it out?
They do.
Yeah,
they
the wrinkles
tend to change.
Something, you know, like the law never changes, right?
No.
And of course, the tax code, it just keeps getting thicker and thicker.
76,000 pages and climbing.
Yeah. Anyway, Dan has a homeowner's insurance company now that will add flood insurance to, not, and it's not a government program, at a lesser cost than the government program.
And why is that?
I know because that. I'm a beneficiary of that.
You're combining them. Yeah, if you have the homeowner's policy, the only way you can get this flood insurance with that company is a rider onto the policy. But it's a new thing that basically, the way the government program works, so Dan tells me, is if you apply for flood insurance today, you can't get it for like 30 days. There's a waiting period. But with this other program, if you're already existing with that company, you can add it right now, and you've got it.
Same anyway, policy, they just add it.
Add a rider to
just
it.
Just don't wait until the storm warning.
Don't wait until there's a storm warning out there, and then go run for it.
I don't think that'll work.
And he had another one, which is another one, and you'll like this one, Vince. So you lease a car. Lease company says you have to have 100, 300 liability and include the lease company. Well, some people don't like that 100 and 300 and to pay for it, and especially let's say you're a high-risk driver and your insurance premiums are pretty high, that 100, 300 costs quite a bit more than the 10, 20. So they have a rider on a policy that will cover the lease company up to 100 and 300 in case of litigation, but only cover you to 10, 20.
Interesting.
He said, so a lot of people lease a car, let's say for $150 a month, you know, but it might cost them more than $150 a month for the insurance.
Right.
Well, that can knock them out of the deal. So it's just two things
that is different.
That are new.
But who pays for the insurance that's for the leasing company?
Right.
Who pays
that's a good question.
Well, you do. You lease the car.
You lease the car, then you buy the insurance to cover them, but not to cover you.
Yes, one policy. But that one policy has this rider to it that says the lease company will be covered in case of up to 100, 300, but you're only covered for 10, 20. So it's a much lower premium. So Dan, and believe me, I'm just telling you what I heard on the radio, which was a wrinkle.
It's a boom.
Well, think about it, because you advertise all the time, 149, 159, 189 for a lease, and then you go in and you find out it's 300 a month for insurance, and you can't afford to lease the car.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But if you can get insurance and get all that thing done, so just
do you have to be a good driver for this?
I don't know. So does that mean all of us are disqualified? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's why we wait until Vince leaves before we leave.
Yeah, well, I hate getting run into him by him all the time.
I want to make sure I see his taillights way down the road before I pull out of the parking lot.
It's terrible to have that reputation.
Then we also have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, which is the hardest working realtor. And if you watch what's going on in real estate today, market values are coming back very strong. The supply appears to be relatively small, so houses are not sitting very long. She said she'd be here today if she wasn't busy. Have you ever seen her not busy?
No, I mean, never.
She's almost always busy.
That's translation means you won't see her.
We won't see her. And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, same scenario. Now his office is two blocks or three blocks away. Now Mike, hand in glove with Victoria when it comes to mortgages. And one of the things that happens, as opposed to going into the bank and you make an application and maybe 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later they'll come back and say you're turned down or we need more, Mike will tell you in 10 minutes, he'll run a credit check before you even get started, and he'll tell you, hey, here's what you qualify for, and here's if you can qualify or if you can't, and here's what to do. So whole different ballgame. So when we put this group together, the object was to find seasoned professionals with integrity, big word, with integrity, experience, credibility. You have to know what they're doing. Let me pat the only liberal Democrat we have here on the back.
Here we go with the politics.
I would never say this out loud. one of the things that happens with Greg, when you get an attorney, very often, and Greg, you've seen it, Vince, you and I have seen it regularly, person walks in the door, says an attorney, hey, I need to have this done. Attorney says, no problem, I'll do it. And the attorney doesn't have a clue. Now they have to go out and learn mm-hmm. what to do, and you're paying mm-hmm. them to learn.
Basically to learn. Yep. Yeah.
Greg won't do that. You call Greg, and I've done this, Greg. I said, Greg, I got a client that needs to go bankrupt. Joe, I don't do that. Bam, no. Just like that. And he'll say, but I know this guy down the street that I trust, and I suggest you go see him. He's fair, and that's all he does. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, to find an attorney that'll do that is a gift. And I think Greg and I probably go back 20 years, maybe longer. We don't really know, but it's been a long, long time. And I used to go to use different – used to go to use –
Used to go to use the Utes.
Now, no matter who it is, no matter what it is, I call Greg first. And if Greg says, Joe, this is not, he'll send me where to go. And if Joe
send me where,
this is not good.
Doesn't sound good.
No, but
tell you where to go.
Yeah. At least he didn't tell you where to go.
Yes, but he may have thought it. But Greg's, anyway, so that's the whole concept of the group. Basically, we're here to answer questions. We got Vince Rosino, CPA, here today. If you have tax questions, well, one of the things that a lot of people don't think about that Greg and I and Vince talk about, especially Vince and I, let's say you want to start a new business.
Yes.
Well, before you even get started, one of the first people you should talk to is a CPA, because there's all kinds of ways to title this business. Also, the CPA is going to look not through rose-colored glasses at what you're looking to do. They'll look at things more analytically and come back with the truth objectively. So very often it's a smart thing. And we have seen collectively people lose thousands and thousands of dollars by not titling their business correctly when they sold it or lost it. Makes a big difference. Big difference.
And how you structure these things, whether you're buying or selling, not only the operating entity, but in what fashion you buy another company, for example, when you're actually in the market to buy a company.
Yep.
And that's important too, to look at how you do that, whether it's a stock purchase or an asset purchase. But I had something before I forget, Joe. I saw something came through the wires this morning, is that the IRS has now made a pronouncement that for those individuals under Obamacare who had been receiving these credits, these premium credits, advanced credits.
Right.
Well, if you haven't filed your 2014 tax return, you're not going to get them in 2016. So for those people out there who haven't yet filed their 2014 return and are getting the credits,
right,
you better
now
file your returns, because come January, you won't be eligible for the credits.
Really?
So you're supposed
now
to
what do you mean? You mean the person who, for the year of 2014?
Yeah.
Yes, for the year of 2014.
Now, even if you file extension?
But they'll be getting credits.
Well, the extension's only good till October 15th if you are on extension. But if you don't file, is what they're saying.
But there'll be people getting credits for 2015, 2016.
Oh, they'll continue to get the credits of 15 until the end of the year. But they'll know by December 31st who's filed and who hasn't.
Do away with the credits? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you won't be eligible, that's all.
You owe the money back.
You know, and if you do get them, you might have to pay those back. But it had the way I read it this morning, it only had to do with 16, not 15. So if you got your 15 credits, I don't know if they'll.
Well, they're not going that far forward, right?
Well, they're just saying that beginning January 1, they'll know if you filed your 14, so they'll stop paying you the credits for 16. Now, what they do with your 15 credits, I don't know exactly yet.
This is so far one amendment to the rule. So if you haven't filed for 2014, we suggest strongly you file.
Yes, file.
You may not even owe money, but the bottom line is they want you to file. The only way they're using to figure out if these credits are due is based on a tax return.
Exactly, because it's based on your income, Joe, as you know. Yeah. It's based on your income and your filing status.
So, you know, my girlfriend Barbara, she got Obamacare really well because she got fired. She hates it when I say fired. She got let go, downsized.
I call it fired.
Mm-hmm. Well, she made like $25,000 or $22,000 for the year, and then she qualifies for Obamacare big time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, if she made $40,000 or $50,000, she'd be in trouble. She may qualify, but not well.
Yeah, but not for a reduced. You'd be paying almost full premium.
Yeah. Right. So she went from a $600 a month Cobra to an $80 a month Obamacare.
At that level, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's designed for people at low income.
It's exactly what it's designed to do, you know, is to help that person in that group. But then, of course, my girl Nikki doesn't qualify at all because the income and kids and the rules are tough.
Yeah. The rules are tough. But they do favor those people who are below the 2 times the poverty level.
And if someone gets Obamacare or the insurance, and their income goes up and they continue to get the subsidy,
now they're in more trouble.
Now they're going to end up finding out that they
got to kick it back,
gotten out of the plan, and then they're going to pay back all the credits that they've got plus penalty.
Exactly. So, I had a couple of those this year.
You got to make sure
it's an interesting thing. Well, you know,
on top of that,
even Obama said, you know, he expects this thing to get modified, no doubt about it, because there's this first blush that has gone through is not working very well. But on the other hand, it does it has helped some people literally that we know personally, but there's some other people that
there have been a lot of people that couldn't get insurance that have insurance today.
Right.
But on the other hand, there's been a lot of people who had insurance who lost it.
Yeah.
Right.
And they can't afford to buy it under the new insurance.
Yeah. Well, I heard a great American
because they don't qualify for the Obama subsidies.
Right.
The insurance is going up.
Yeah, well, you know, we've had many conversations among our little group right here. We don't tell Greg about it, you know, but we tell everybody else.
I was going to say that I knew a great American who said basically they should have just given Medicare for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that that is I think that that would have taken care of the situation you're referring.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I am such a, you know, this is discrimination. It's reverse discrimination. You get to be 65, you get Medicare. Medicare is the greatest thing since chocolate milk. I mean, and if you
but the deal is, if you live to be 65, they're hoping you're not going to live very much longer.
they definitely hope.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because when they first put this plan in play in 1936 or whenever it was enacted, it was
the life expectancy
was 65. Right. Yeah. That's when you started collecting.
Right. Yeah. So you definitely wouldn't live that much longer.
No. So it's crept up, and nobody's really done much in adjusting. They have adjusted the entry points, but it's 65, 66, or 67 at this point.
For Medicare, not Social Security.
No, not Medicare. Medicare is 65.
Yeah.
But for Social Security, it's either 65 for full retirement, 66 or now 67, depending on your birthday.
Yeah.
You can always opt for early retirement
at
62,
right?
But then you have a reduced benefit.
Right.
You can lose up to 30%.
Yes, up to 12%, between two. It's between 27% and 29%. Yeah,
pretty close to 30%.
You're pretty close to your 30, and other things that people need to understand is when you apply for benefits is important too, Joe. Not only at 62, but if you're entitled to a spousal benefit,
or be careful.
Instead of taking your own, you might be able to take your spouse's or an ex-spouse's benefit. There's all kinds of benefits available.
Think about this for a second. Let's say you're a married couple. And your husband's 70 and you're 65, let's just say that, or 66, and you're going to go apply for your own Social Security. Well, you might be able to get a spousal benefit, might be a few dollars less, but maybe in 2 or 3 years, your own benefit would build up because you get it at a later date.
Exactly.
So you can opt off of your spousal benefit and get your own benefit.
Exactly. And the same thing happens, Joe, with the other types of benefits. You have survivor benefits that work similarly.
Yeah.
And the mistake is, a lot of people do, they go in and say they lose a spouse
at
a normal retirement. They go in and they claim all the benefits they can get.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may be a mistake because they might be better taking their own and because you can't have two benefits at the same time. You can only have one. So, but if you leave one behind or you say, I'll take mine now, let the other grow, same concept, take it later.
Right.
Convert it.
It's not that we know everything about this, but Vince and especially Vince, have sat through multiple hours of courses on this stuff to try to learn Social Security. And one of the things that happens, and I suggest to everybody, and so does Vince, if you have a question for Social Security, you make an appointment and you go down and they will give you a person-on-person interview. But what they won't do is educate you. They will answer your questions. So you have to know the questions before you go. The reason I'm saying this is talk to Vince, talk to Joe about what questions to ask. Just as an example, I mean, this is a goofy one, but let's say you were married 3 times for at least 10 years and all 3 spouses died.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can get whichever spouse had the highest benefit, you can pick that up. the spousal benefit.
You've been married 10 years.
Yeah, married 10 years.
You have to be married 10 years for that.
Right.
For normal, you could be married as little as 9 years.
Yeah.
And if the spouse dies, you could get survivor benefits. So,
when you're currently married.
Yes.
I'm just saying, let's get rid of three of them and then pick your best. Right. But you got to have 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But if you were divorced, you needed 10 years of marriage.
So the other side of the coin is, let's say you pick up the spousal benefit, and if you're a widow from that, you can get that benefit at age 60.
Yes, you can.
There's different rules.
There's different benefits.
Yeah.
The widow, survivor, and your normal benefit.
Now, do you know if you're a gun-toting officer with 20 years of service, you can get full Social Security benefit at age 50?
No, I didn't know that.
See? I didn't know that either.
You need to, I run into a gun-toting federal officer.
Really?
Yeah.
At 50, they get
She wouldn't
benefit?
Marry me, but she had too much money.
Well, I get that.
You
gigolo, you.
But she retired at 50 with full benefit,
really?
And I've talked to a couple of other cops. Yeah.
Full Social Security
And pension. But double dip. Gun-toting. You know, you've got to be a gun-toting officer of the law.
Right.
I don't think you can be a vigilante. You've got to have either a state or federal. She was a park ranger, but it's not a park ranger, not a federal only. This is for gun toting. No.
Interesting.
This is what I was told. Am I 100% on this?
I'm going to look that one up.
But you got to look that one up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, you think about this. If I'm a gun toting cop in Detroit, and if I don't get killed in my 20 years, I deserve to retire young and get full benefit.
But they get their retirement benefit from their government.
From the police force.
And then they can get Social Security on top.
Full benefit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
good. So there are some perks to being a cop or a gun.
Well, they deserve it.
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. I mean,
every day they put their lives at risk.
I don't dispute that. And every day we read about some cop
getting underpaid and underappreciated.
It's a tough way to go. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. So today, if you've got questions about wills, trusts, I mean living trusts.
Estates.
This is state planning. Estate planning means, have you done a will or a trust and have you got all this stuff figured out?
Right? Yeah, basically.
That's what are you ready to die?
Yeah, because you accumulate things over your life.
You know, your estate could be a pack of gum.
Could be.
That's your estate. Whatever you own, that's your estate. So
yeah,
it doesn't
need to. So whatever you've accumulated, where do those things go?
Yeah.
Where does that asset go? Do you want to direct where they go, or do you want the state to do that for you?
So, I go through this regularly with people. Joe, do I need to do this? And I said, well, everybody, in my opinion, should do a will or a trust. Well, Joe, let me tell you what I got. I got a bank account, and I've got you. And you have an annuity, and I've got beneficiaries on there, and at the bank I've got TOD, and my house is a homestead, and that's it. And I said, well, what about your stuff? You know, your stuff.
Your stuff. Your George jewelry, your collectibles.
Car, your furniture, your collectibles, your clothes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care about that stuff. Well, you write it down, you can sure solve some problems.
But a lot of fussing and fighting over the years over that stuff.
I've seen it several times. Oh.
But you know, Joe, just before I forget this, because sometimes I do.
At your age, this can happen.
With the estate planning, it's not simply the trust or setting up, you know, the will and so on. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of tax planning things that you can
do
before, in terms of gifting, for example, giving to a charity, or you're setting up a charitable trust or something like this. These are things you can do in advance and in conjunction with that planning.
You pretty much better do them in advance because it's hard to do from the grave.
Well, you could do it from the grave too.
Yeah.
But you won't get any tax benefits.
Right. Well, let me just pick on Greg. And I like it when we have streaming live on TV or something, but because this is one of my very favorite things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my word, I love this word, probate. Now, let me tell you, when you say the word probate, attorneys start rubbing their hands together and they grin and they start looking at Mercedes.
Yeah, educations for the kids.
Oh, yeah, or multiple Mercedes, you know, his and hers, plus one for the kids. It really depends.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just use an example. Mm-hmm. Let's say Vince decides to die.
I don't decide that.
Sometimes you can, but it's not a pretty picture.
No, it isn't.
But let's just say Vince drops dead. right now, mm-hmm. and he's got a $1 million probatable estate, and his wife has already left him, mm-hmm. and his daughter comes to you. I've got this picture laid out for you. Don't worry about it, Vince.
He's already doing my planning for
his me. His daughter comes to you, Greg, because right. she knows who you are, and says, right. hey, Dad dropped dead today. How much money can I get, and how fast can I get it? And...
well,
she loved her dad quite
she
a
loved
bit.
Her dad. She, oh, yeah. Boy, I really missed Dad. How much was there?
Anyway, when did he pass yesterday?
I've had people how call me from the hospital. Fast. But anyway, so one of the questions is, he's got a $1 million estate mm-hmm. subject to probate. And Greg would say, you sure it's subject to probate? And you right. say, yeah, I've done some research. He's got a $1 million. That might be $1,100,000. But let me ask you, Greg, what's a normal fee for you to settle this $1 million probatable estate?
Well, it depends on the estate, but if you're talking about what the statute has set to be a reasonable fee, would be 3%.
Whoa, 3%?
What'd you say?
By Florida statute, 3%.
So 3% doesn't sound a lot.
What's 3% of $1 million?
It's a bunch of money.
It's a bunch.
It's a lot more than
it's
that.
It's about $30,000 last time I checked.
$30,000. Then
his, no sliding scale.
Then his daughter says,
there is a sliding scale. Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought.
And you can slide it up, too. That's a recommendation. That's not an absolute, right?
Mm-hmm. But from 100,000 to a million is 3%.
It is 3%.
Yeah, million. The first 100 wow. is 10%. No, I'm kidding.
So, man, you better make sure you don't have any probatable
so
assets.
Here comes the next question. Then she says, well, that's exciting. So you're going to stick me for 30 grand. How fast can I get this money?
And I would say it depends. You know,
I knew that part.
But then, what the assets are.
But she pushes you.
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay, give me the outline. What's the quickest and what's the longest, in your opinion?
Quickest, well, you have to open up your estate, and you have to put this, your notice to creditors in the newspaper, and that's a 3-month notice where creditors can come forward and. That's 3 months. So, you know, I would say quickest if nobody puts in a claim, if there's no real estate or real property you need to sell or right. anything like that, 5 months would be
so 5 months. But then what happens is during the course of this 5 months, mm-hmm. Joe Martek, that's Vince's illegitimate son.
I suspect that would be an awful lot younger than
this,
your
this
Joe.
Would have, this is another this Joe. This would be another miracle. It's my nephew, right? But don't
what
worry.
Do you
about
think was my
comes
name?
Along
Abraham?
And says, "Wait a minute, part of that money is mine." Mm-hmm. Now, how long? Now we've got to settle that part.
Yeah, and that depends on if a lawsuit's filed. You know, if a suit's filed, it could be years. You know, a couple years.
I think
or more.
To this date, I think Howard Hughes' estate is still not settled.
Still
it may
not
never
settle. Yeah.
Right.
Meantime, it keeps growing.
So the key is this now. Then his daughter,
mm-hmm.
because she's a sweetheart, would say, okay, what in the world could Dad have done to avoid that? Mm-hmm. And you would say?
Could have done a trust.
Ow! Wait a minute. So if he'd have done a trust, how long would it take to settle this estate?
Not very long. You know, it depends on if there's anybody owed money, if there's any, property to sell or, but you could start immediately.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was all just cash sitting in whatever under the rock or something, it could be settled almost within a week or two.
At that mm-hmm. point, the trust document dictates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The trust mm-hmm. document tells it all.
Yeah.
So one of the things that if people own multiple pieces of property, especially sometimes multiple states, they own property. A trust mm-hmm. can become an extremely viable instrument to help the family avoid probate. So here's the problem. It's like the Fram commercial, said you buy the oil filter now for $3 mm-hmm. or you buy a new engine later for $3,000.
Right. Pay me now or pay me now. Later.
Well, make it 30 now and make it 30,000. Yeah. So the whole concept is you can do a will, and if you don't have probatable assets.
Yeah, so that's the whole issue, the probatable assets.
Right.
Because, I don't want people to think out there that, if they come in, I'm going to just tell them you need a trust.
No,
because a lot of people don't have any probatable assets
right.
or are, you know, very little.
And the 90% of the people, if we don't educate them, not going to understand the difference between a probatable and non-probatable right. accent, unless right. they've already gone through a death that they had to work and settle, then they learn it the hard way. Mm-hmm. But
so, Greg, like that. Would things like retirement plans or mm-hmm. would that be considered mm-hmm. a probatable asset, like an IRA not. Or something like that?
You know, usually you have beneficiaries named to those sort of things, so that will go directly to the beneficiary.
So they would bypass that, so that wouldn't be considered mm-hmm. a probatable asset.
Right.
But how about a home that's titled to a husband and wife?
Technically, no, not probatable, especially when one spouse dies, it'll go directly to the surviving spouse.
What if they both go simultaneously?
Well, if they've willed that property to children and it's homestead, it's their residence, their Florida residence, then it's not technically probatable either.
Interesting.
So those are good
yeah.
things.
That's a good thing, yeah.
See, well, what happens when you have two or three children and all of a sudden somebody feels like they're being treated unfairly? Mm-hmm. Can't they throw all of that into mm-hmm. probate?
Mm-hmm. Point is, it's not necessarily that, but if it says in the will who gets it, now they could file suit and say mom wasn't competent to do the will. They got all kinds of problems.
Well, I have a friend who recently, he had his mother passed away, mm-hmm. and he had his own business, but he had a business that he had started with his mother, had helped his mother take care of her home, paid the bills, paid the taxes for his mother for a number of years. Mm. His mother passes away, and now his three sisters have sued him
sure.
for the business, for the house, mm-hmm. All of this, she had a will, supposed to have all been taken care of.
And he was the beneficiary of her will? He was the only beneficiary?
No. Mm-mm. He was not the only beneficiary, what they ended up doing is he just threw up his hands and they went to arbitration and
right.
he got settled. Rid of it.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people
sometimes
don't.
That's the best thing to do, you know.
A lot of people don't like what it says in a will. That's why mm-hmm. they contest it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it'd be successfully contested.
Right, right. But people do what they want to do, and if they feel that they've been treated unfairly, they can do it. I mean, as long as they can hire an attorney who thinks
now,
they might
have a case.
Now, does a trust
get around that?
No.
It's a bit stronger, but nothing gets around a lawsuit.
You know, the will kind of has the mechanisms when you go through probate that kind of lead to people being able to challenge that will, where trust not so much, but you can always file suit on a trust also.
You can sue anybody. This is Sue America.
Yeah, you can sue anybody person, at any time.
In the meantime, we got a call and we have to take it.
And they could prosecute.
Caller, it's family. Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. My name is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
I'm listening to all this stuff, and I'm wondering my situation. I don't have a will. I don't have a trust. I don't have none of that. I'm divorced. I have two grown daughters, and I'm wondering, do I have to make a will for them to get what little I have, or can you write something down just personally and just leave it somewhere?
This is Greg Fasula, attorney, talking now.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Linda. By statute, by Florida statute, your kids are your beneficiaries anyways. So there is a process through court, through what's called intestate statute, that the estate would go to them. What you can do through with your will is you can set out, who's in charge, and you can specify where certain things, who they go to, properties, if there are any type of assets that you want to go to one or another, or your grandkids, or you can always do that through a will.
Right, right. Okay.
Here's a question, Linda, that you should be saying. How much does it cost for a will? Come on, Linda, ask that.
Yeah. And do I need a will, or can I just write it down somewhere?
if you write it down somewhere, it's just up to your kids whether they're going to follow that.
Here's what happens.
If you do a will, it's legal and done legally, then they have to.
Here's the key. If you write it down, It may not be recognized by the court system in the state of Florida.
No, I mean, it probably wouldn't.
It probably would not. Mm-hmm. So now, Linda, ask him again. How much does it cost for a will, Greg?
You know, it depends. depends on the will. You know,
you're putting them on the spot.
We've been trying to do this. Yeah, I mean, it could be a couple hundred.
So here's what happens, Linda. You own a house?
Yes, I do.
You have a bank account?
I do.
Do you have a car?
I do.
Do you have any other real estate property?
No.
Do you have a brokerage account?
I have my IRA, yeah.
IRA has a named beneficiary. That doesn't have to go through the courts.
Yes, yes.
So literally, what Greg just said, and he snuck it in before you were listening, a couple of hundred dollars as a simple will based on, here, I've got three kids, I want things to go to my children equally, and if you have specific things you want different, you could do that, right?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you would have, you wouldn't need a trust. You know, it doesn't sound like you have a what's called a probatable estate.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I work part time. I don't have a lot, but I'm just,
right.
You know, and I'm
right.
I'm not old.
Right,
know,
right,
God
right.
God forbid something does happen.
Right.
Hey Greg.
I mean, the other thing with the will is you know, if your kids have kids, you know, you can do some things there also to provide for them, or if they're minors, you know, I have language in my wills that would. Give your representative options on how to distribute the share to the minors. So, I mean, the bottom line is Florida intestate law says that your kids are your beneficiaries. Yeah, but, you know, Wilkin, it's still a good thing to do. It can help you out in certain situations.
You know, Linda, I've heard it, and Greg's heard it, and Vince has heard it many times. Oh, my kids will never have a problem. I know my kids are all going to be good. But, you know,
I was just going to say that.
I've seen families, all three of us have seen families absolutely fall apart during this period.
I've seen that, too.
I'm going through that right now.
So it just, whether it's Greg or any other attorney, it's just, and most attorneys aren't going to charge you to talk to them up front. Would you say, Greg, is that fair?
I don't know about most.
Most? Okay, Greg doesn't charge. But anyway, he talks to people. Our job is to help people the best we can and get you on the right road. And then you then have to make up your mind what to do.
Hey, Linda, if I can just give you this bit of
advice.
This
is Vince Rizzino, CPA.
It's Vince Rizzino talking to you now. At the very least, do yourself a favor, because you probably need this if you want to see Greg anyway. You should list out and take an inventory of everything that you have. And where it's located, so that if something happened to you, at least your children would know where they would find certain things, including your will if you have one, or if you don't, Greg's name, somebody that you can turn to.
Yeah.
But if you had any life insurance policies, if you have jewelry, if you have anything special, maybe you have a safe deposit box, or if you have things in a safe at home. I think you need to take an inventory, put it someplace safe, and then tell your children where they can find it in the event of your demise.
That's great advice, because I hear all the time from people that they've had somebody pass, somebody close, and you know, what do I do? They don't know where to start.
What I do with my clients, Linda, you'll get a kick out of it. I'll say, hey, take my card and put it on your safety deposit box or your box you have in the house with all your personal papers, and then stick my card on the front of it and write down, I'm dead, call Joe.
Yeah.
And literally, I've had people say, hey, Dad died yesterday, and I saw your card there, and it said I'm supposed to call you.
Well, you know what I'm doing with all my clients now is that's exactly what I'm telling them, Joe, is that make sure that in that tax return, here, clip a copy of my card, although my name is at the bottom of the tax return, but give them a card, put it in there, at least they know who to call.
Mm-hmm.
But just a real quick one, I have a client of mine that's 84 years old, and she's an American citizen, but she lives abroad. She retired to Ireland. So, you know, the IRS requires you to report assets in foreign bank accounts if it exceeds certain amounts.
Yep.
Well, this woman's assets did exceed it, and I'm talking to her about it. And it turns out in the end, she had money that I didn't know she had, but how would I know anyway? But I knew most of her stuff because I do her returns. But there was other things. And the more important thing is she had no children. So the person who's going to inherit is her niece.
She
didn't have a clue where she would even start to look for the money. So this woman dies with nowhere to go. She's got money over there in Europe.
Well, there's a lot of money held by the state. that people just don't know it's there.
Yeah, a lot of times I have probates based on that unclaimed property.
Well, thank you for your time.
Linda, do you live locally or where do you live?
Yeah, I'm here in Stewart.
Okay. If you want, we'll give you Greg's phone number. He can talk to you on the phone separate and maybe guide you a little bit if you'd like.
Sure.
Are you home?
Okay.
Yeah. What's your number?
It's 337-0062. Yeah, you can call me anytime.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Linda. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. All right.
God bless you.
You know, the whole concept of what we're trying to do is to help people to, just before the show started, we were talking about a family that's falling apart because of a will and whether there's competency involved. And it's just a mess. And we see it happen so often. And we try, and I mean literally all three of us try to keep these families together and do the right thing for everybody and not getting paid for any of that. It's just try to keep this because we can see these disasters coming. And how many times are there disasters? It's very sad. Very sad.
We had a question came in on the phone a moment ago. They didn't want to go on the air, but they were talking about the wills, and you got into an area about the cost of wills. When you talk about a trust, are you talking about thousands of dollars for a trust as opposed to a few hundred dollars for a will? Or one sets up a trust, can it be expensive or not?
Yeah, more than likely we're not talking about thousands of dollars unless it's really complicated, you know, as if there's a lot of complications of tax implications or real estate where you have to do a lot of money. Yeah, a normal trust, you're not talking thousands of dollars, not at all. Usually with the trust, you know, there's a will that accompanies it, and there's, you know, power of attorney, healthcare surrogate. And that could be under $1,000.
And another question that came in was one about, you know, if you are a parent, you have children and they're estranged, you know, they're on the outs with you.
Did you say they were strange?
Well,
no, that too.
Strange.
Right.
Estranged.
You know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got some family situations where you've got a son or a daughter, they're not talking to the parents, or maybe the mother and the father have been divorced and they're not talking, but they had mutual assets and things. What can one do if they have a child that's not
friendly,
what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's life. I mean, so many families have that type of situation, and that just happens.
Does a will or a trust help in that situation?
Sure. That's why you need a will or a trust, because you can designate, you know, who are your beneficiaries. So without that, like I was telling Linda, you know, that her kids are beneficiaries by state statute. So if you want somebody, you know, you want somebody other than a child or one child, you have to do the will or trust.
You know, we had it's not exactly a situation, but we had a client. I had a client who never had children. She's a widow. The relative she had, she saw seldom. She was going to leave about $1 million, and she had a trust, and 2 weeks before she died, she wanted to change it. Now, that's always exciting, because now the heirs that are being changed are going to say, oh boy, somebody led this poor person astray. So what we did, literally, now she was not incompetent in her head. She was fine. She had quit taking dialysis on purpose, was just tired of going through all of the pain and everything. So we hired a videographer, and we had two separate sessions with a video, and Greg was in the hospital in the nursing home, and literally nobody helped her, asked her specific questions. She had to come up with specific answers, specific things. And literally when she died, then the family came out, and I sent them copies of this video with the thing, and never was there a bit of a contest. So there's things
that's like a big red flag if that person dies like a week or two after they've done the will or a change in the will. But
I give that advice all the time now in terms of a videography of the will.
It's a great
because
idea.
It sort of cements things, doesn't
it? It's a great idea. Otherwise, you probably do have a lawsuit.
Oh, no doubt about it. And the concept then was, too, Greg said, okay, fine, you, whatever it is, you come up with and you give us the percentage of people that get of your estate. Mm-hmm. And you come up and make sure it adds up to 100.
Right.
And they had her do it twice to make sure that her math was done right. And I'm talking two separate occasions.
I love it.
Yeah.
Make sure it adds up.
Years ago, there was a lady in my church. Her husband passed away, and she was his second wife. He had children that weren't speaking to him because after their mother died, he dared to marry again.
Of course.
And so the son wouldn't speak to the father. The father dies. He leaves everything, his entire estate, to his second wife.
Right. Of course.
And that ended up in court and all
again,
of that.
Again, that's one of those life situations that...
But isn't it the right of...
Of course.
Someone to leave it to whom they will?
Exactly.
When you go to court, that doesn't mean you're going to win. It might mean somebody led my poor father astray because this bimbo that he married.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
That's not an easy case either. I mean, as long as he was competent, he wasn't...
He'd been married to this second wife for years. Hadn't spoken to his son for years. And I ended up, I had to go in and testify because of some of the things that he had told me in confidence. And it was just a big sticky wicket.
I bet that his wife won that lawsuit.
She did.
The key thing is this. That's what the will does. It says it. And a lot of times when people do the will, they might even mention the children, they don't want them to get anything. Or they get 10 bucks.
So they say it in the affirmative. I do not want anything to go to my kids.
There's a Grisham book called Testament. And, Grisham was an attorney that, that made more money being not an attorney, but one was dad's going to die and he's going to leave money to the kids. And the last minute he changed his mind and it was just so much fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very.
I have not read that one.
Testament. You'll get a kick out.
Interesting.
Great. Read that in my spare time.
Anyway. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. We are probably out of time as far as answering questions, but you can call Pastor Tom or Connie anytime during the week, and they will take your name and number and have us call you, and we'll help anybody that we can. None of us are going to charge you any money to talk to you on the phone, usually even the first meeting. The whole object is if we can help you without charging you, we're going to do it. If you need to hire us, that's a different story. It's like Pastor Tom. He works for free. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong pastor. I got him confused.
It seems that way.
I sometimes feel like I'm working for nothing.
1-888-221-8990. Now, are we really down to 30 seconds?
You got 1 minute.
You got a whole minute? You said stop.
Now you got 58 seconds.
58 seconds. Hey, folks, we want to thank you very much for listening. Linda, thanks for the phone call. And again, the concept here is don't feel bad about asking us questions. Don't feel bad about calling. We're here to help. And we've been very, very fortunate. Our group is very, very fortunate to have been here a long, long time and been able to help people. And we're very appreciative of that. And we thank Pastor Tom for putting up with us. I don't really mean this, but I'm trying to,
He's trying to be nice.
Very sincere.
Very sincere. I'm trying to be nice today.
Sincerely flawed somewhere.
There we go. All right, Greg, words of wisdom?
Not really.
I ask him that every show, and he never has that word.
Never has.
No, that's hard to give pearls every time.
Professor?
The words of wisdom are, just thank the Lord for every day.
Amen. Thank you, folks. Until next week, goodbye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
love one another. Love one another.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City.